Welcome to the PeopleStack podcast, where I share insights on how to upgrade your career as a technical manager. I'm Jen Bunk. I am a career coach for tech managers and CEO of the PeopleStack. Before we dive into this episode, I'd like to invite you to join our Slack team, Climbing the Tech Leadership Ladder. Join a community of other tech managers who are learning what it really takes to upgrade your teams, your careers, your paychecks, and your life. Send a quick "I'd like to join your Slack" email to slack@thepeoplestack.com. We'll see you in there and enjoy the episode.
Hey there, folks. Rob Allen here, co-CEO of the PeopleStack, where we help people like you every day to find the epic role that matters for you, for the tech leadership, for becoming tech leadership, for moving up in tech leadership. We absolutely live to help. And today I want to talk about five lessons that we've learned by helping people negotiate absolutely epic offers, even this time during the pandemic. And not all of these things are going to be, you know, the standard that you see everywhere else. And some of them are going to be easier said than done. I'm just going to tell you that right up front. But the fact of the matter is, these things are going to help every single time. Most recently, the first thing that I'm going to talk about, one of the people we were working with, she had been out interviewing before she started working with us. And when she was working through some of the interview processes with some of these companies, it became clear that the role she had interviewed for, even though she was moving forward in the interview process, wasn't actually the role that she wanted. She wasn't going to be happy there. She wasn't going to enjoy that job. And really, the only reason she was looking for that role was because she was living in scarcity. She was living in a place where she needed that bird in hand. Ultimately, throughout the course of the journey, throughout the course of the interview processes with multiple companies, she did end up getting offers. And some of those offers, they wouldn't have sucked. They wouldn't have been her dream job, though. And honestly, we only work to get you your dream job. It's the only one we're interested in helping you get. And so as we worked with her, it became obvious that when it came to thinking about those roles as being a bird in hand, it wasn't really a real bird. It was a marshmallow peep. It was sugary. It felt possibly good in the moment, but really, it wasn't going to give the nutritional value that she needed and that the rest of our clients need or deserve. And it's not just her that I'm thinking of. That's just one of the most recent ones. We find it time and time again, people go for what could or should be easy instead of what's going to give them long-term win, what's going to give them a long-term joy. And I can understand where that's coming from. But when it comes to your dream, the first person to settle loses. And your dream's too important for you to settle, for you to allow it to just fall by the wayside. In fact, the person I'm thinking of, 3-4 weeks later, she got an offer at an organization she loved, doing a job that was going to be expansive for her, that was going to put her on track for where she absolutely wanted to grow into, and it's paying her 3 times more than she's making in her current role. So the lesson, first lesson of 5 that we're going to talk about today is don't settle. The bird in hand is really a marshmallow peep. Let it go. You deserve better than what is just convenient. And that leads me to the second tip out of 5. How do you know when it's settling? Well, step 1 is really to know what you want. Know what you want, not just out of this next role, know what you want from a day-to-day life, a day-to-day, this is what it's going to be like to work and live in this place type of perspective. If you don't know what you want, nobody can help you get it, not even you. And understanding what you want and understanding why you want it is going to be huge for you getting a role that is not only a benefit to yourself, but to others. It grows you, it grows your life, it grows your career, and it builds job security as well, because when you're doing the things you want to do and that you're good at doing, people love helping you to do it. And that's really what we're all about. Knowing what you want, though, is one of those easier said than done kind of things. I've talked before about how as engineers, as software people, we're taught to settle. We're taught to give up a lot of what it is we want in service of urgency, in service of shipping now. And while that may work on software projects, while that may be the right place to be for some of that work, it's not right for you and your dream. That's where people go to settle. That's where people go when they cloister themselves up and they stop dreaming about what tomorrow could be for themselves, their families, their lives, and what they want out of the world. And you're too good to settle. And I know you're too good to settle because, one, you're listening to us, which means that you're thinking about what you want for your life. But number two, everybody is too good to settle. Let's just be clear with that. There are no bad people. There are just people who are in the wrong seats on the wrong bus. And right and wrong actually doesn't factor into it. It's more you're either in the seat that serves you or you're not. Knowing what you want is a crucial part of that, because to get to know what you want, you need to think about what it is into the future that should be optimized for. Do you want to optimize for money? Do you want to optimize for time? Do you want to optimize for flexibility? Do you want to optimize for learning new things? Do you want to optimize for getting better at managing or growing teams? Do you want to optimize for different types of interactions with different organizations, different types of organizations? These are going to be all factors in knowing what you want and making sure that you understand all of the pieces that have to be present so that when you're in your new role, when you don't settle, you're going to know the difference. Now, the person I'm thinking of, when she was offered her new role, it was quite clear that this was the better role for her. Number one, it was full-time, no contract nonsense, no BS about that. Number two, it involved her growing into a place where she was going to run a team. Number three, it used the skills she was the most proud of. And number four, it allowed her to have a place where she was going to be working with a mentor who was connected to the field she was most excited about. It had all of those components with it. And so that was clearly the right role for her. Another gentleman that we worked with had a similar take, where he was looking to expand his leadership possibilities, his leadership perspectives. And he had had the experience. He had worked and walked the line. He knew all of the pieces. He just needed somebody who was going to take a risk on him. And when we got him his current role, not only did that risk show up where they were like, we want you. When he got there, there were so many challenges that were right within his wheelhouse that he was able to quickly show his quality. He was able to quickly show his fit, his desire, his passion, and all of the pieces fell into place that he quickly got bumped up. And now he's running the entire engineering division less than 3 months later. That was a dream scenario for him. And He's working in that role in a dream capacity. He's loving it, absolutely loving it. Now we got to work on getting the rest of his life to catch up to how awesome his job is, which is a lot of fun. Which brings me to part three, the third lesson. How do you get one of those jobs? How do you get one of those things? Well, first, you have to shape your resume, shape your LinkedIn to highlight the parts of yourself you're the most proud of that you want to keep doing more of. You need to be able to tell the story that is everything in your life has been prelude to this moment. Everything in your life has been the lead up to this thing. It's the standard superhero journey where you're telling all of the pieces that got you to this point as the growth that made you ready for this next level of challenge. And you telegraph through the word choices. You telegraph through the pieces of your story you choose to emphasize and show off. You're telling the story to your audience, your new future employer, that this is who you are and who you want to be. Again, easier said than done. Some easy tips and tricks aren't really going to get you there. Instead, you need to understand the narrative that you want to be a part of. You need to understand where it is you want to go and where what you've done so far works into that. And that's only something that you're going to be able to know, but we'll coach you through that and make sure that it's all dialed through. And a lot of people will work with you on that kind of thing. But make sure you're telling the story such that you are shaping your narrative so that organizations that read your resume, that read your LinkedIn, see themselves in your story and see you in theirs. Now, you're not going to do that by listing out a bunch of technologies. You're not going to do that by matter-of-factly saying that you moved to this technology, you moved to this stack, you changed this server, you changed this service, you published this many lines of code. Nobody cares. That doesn't help them see you in their narrative. Talking about the outcomes, talking about how you saw a problem, you worked with a team, and you resolved the problem, and now we have all of these benefits that they'll see. So there's going to be a lot of that kind of stuff going into shaping the narrative so that it makes sense and it's clear to anyone who reads it who you are and where you belong. That's going to have to be everywhere that you promote yourself. And if you're thinking, oh crap, that's going to be a lot of work because I have these 7 different versions of my resume that I send for these different types of things, throw all of that shit out right now. Going back to lesson 1 of don't settle, going to lesson 2 of know what you want, if you can't tell the story of who you are and how who you are is ready for what you want in one resume, go back to the drawing board and make sure we're talking about the right thing. There should be one narrative version of who you are and where you're going. There should be one narrative version of what you want. And when it's clear about what you want, when you're clear about what you want, it's so much easier for everybody else to get on board and help get you to what you want. Getting to what you want is going to be tricky because you need to go to lesson 4, and that is take off all of the masks. And I don't mean, you know, covering your face. I mean, as we go into different job opportunities, as we go into different places, different communities, we adjust and adapt ourselves to try and fit our beliefs about what they want from us. And we put on a little bit of show. We want to be liked. We want to ace the interview. We want to show up and blow their socks off, whether or not we actually want that job or not. But here's the real truth. The more about yourself, the more you bring into the interview, the more authentically you are when you're presenting yourself to this organization, the better they're going to be able to understand what they're getting when they hire you, and vice versa. And so I want you to take off the masks when you're going into interview scenarios, when you're going in to converse with organizations, when you're interacting with organizations. Let them meet the real person. Ultimately, that's who they're going to be wanting to interact with. And just like dating, and I'm one of the few people who still likes to use the dating metaphor for the hiring metaphor, just like dating, the more masks you wear during that courtship, the more fake you have to be in the actual relationship, the more fake you need to be in the actual job, the more you need to pretend to be something you're not, which increases stress, which increases burnout, which increases the likelihood that you're not going to love that new role. You're going to be given a role that may or may not fit you, and then you're going to have to try and fit yourself in ways that just aren't congruent. So lesson four is no masks. Drop that nonsense. Be 100% authentically, unapologetically yourself. There is somebody out there looking to hire exactly you. But you're not going to know that until you put 100% authentically you out there. Same thing with dating. Lesson five of things that we've learned getting epic offers for dream jobs for our clients is you have to be ready to negotiate. And that sounds like an obvious thing. That sounds like a thing where it's like, I know I need to negotiate. Here's the thing though. Even when you get an offer that blows your mind, and we've worked through with some clients there where the offer doubled their previous salary or tripled in some cases, and they were still able to negotiate more. Some of that is more money because that's what was important to that client at that point in time. But some of it was full-time work from home even after the pandemic's over. Some of that is additional release time for travel because they were going to need to relocate. Some of that was additional vacation time. Some of that was a different work environment. So computer system setups, stuff like that. In a negotiation, when an organization has made an offer to you, they are saying they want you. And if you didn't settle because you knew what you wanted, you shaped yourself for the offer for the role, and you wore no masks to get there, the person that they want, the thing that they want, is unapologetically, authentically you. And they deserve to get that. And you deserve to get whatever it takes to make you feel whole to accept that offer. If that means full-time work remote, if that means, even for a bank, guys, it can happen. If that means being able to have a flexible schedule, if that means an extra 40 hours of vacation time, if that means a signing bonus, if it means a relocation bonus, all of these things and more are available to you when you negotiate. And there's some fear that that's going to take away the offer. But within the offer, there's going to be baked in certain levels of wiggle room. As a hiring manager myself, I've made offers to people and expected negotiation. So I have a ceiling of number, you know, X plus 20. And when I call and I say, I'd love to welcome you into our community and I'd like to make you an offer of X, how's that sound to you? What I'm expecting to hear is some form of intro into negotiation. Now, being the manager I am, I have in places said, because it's been done for me as well, when somebody responds, wow, X sounds great, I can respond then and said, so what I hear you saying is that it's an interesting offer. And if we were able to go to X plus 15, you'd be excited to sign right now. Is that what I hear you saying? Yeah, good. Okay, you know what? I think we can do that. Let me update this and I'll get you the paperwork. Congratulations. Thank you for joining us. And I can't wait to see you on board. Negotiation is part of the process. Now, if you look to the other resources like Patio 11's Twitter feeds and website, if you look to Josh Duty, who is also a paragon in this space, what you're going to find is organizations expect you to negotiate. They expect that you're going to push back against that initial offer. They've built it in. They are ready, willing, and able to negotiate. It's not asking too much. It's not pushing them in a way that they're not ready to accept. And it's not out of the ordinary. It's part of their day. Okay, I'm making an offer to so-and-so, and then we're going to negotiate it out and get this done. Hey, I'm talking to so-and-so today. We're going to negotiate their offer and get it done. That's day in, day out for certain hiring managers and for HR folks. That's part of the job. I know it's unusual for you. They know it's unusual for you, which is often why people accept the offers that they're given without pushing back anything at all. But you know what you want. You're not going to settle. You've shaped yourself to suit this role. You'd wore no masks to get there. You need to make sure that the offer matches what you want. So there you go, folks. That's five lessons we've learned bringing epic offers to people, even now during the pandemic. And what I want to make sure is that you get your own epic offer. You get your own dream job, whether it's at the organization you work for now or going out to some new organization like the 30 million other folks that are re-entering the job market right now. So what we're going to offer is what we always offer. I want you to go to thepeoplestack.com/book. And I want you to go there and select a time to speak with one of my career strategists who's going to talk to you about your career right now, what's working for you and what's not, and where you want to go. And then if the People Stack can help you get where you want to go, we'll tell you, we'll show you how. But if we can't, we'll tell you that and we'll point you in the right direction for something that'll serve you better. But either way, you're going to get everything you need in order to get your own epic career. So to get started, go to thepeoplestack.com/book. It's going to be the best hour you've ever spent. And you got nothing else to lose there. So have a great day. Have an epic career. And I'll see you guys soon. Bye-bye.
And that wraps up another episode of the People Stack podcast. Thanks for listening and for supporting our mission. We are all helping to positively transform the tech world, one tech manager at a time. I have so much gratitude for all of you, for our loyal listeners, and for my team, including my amazing CTO/husband, Rob Allen, our extremely talented mindset coach, Mariana Lacombe, and our super awesome, always on top of everything, executive assistant, Lauren Underwood. Also, this podcast would not be possible without the help of our innovative and warm-hearted sound consultant and podcast producer, my brother, Lou Bunk. And thank you also to Ketsa for creating the catchy, inspiring music we get to use in our podcast. We love you all. Until next time.